Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere, Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, we're so blessed that you're joining us in part two of a three-part interview with a good friend of our ministry, Tom Donnan. If you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know Tom Donnan always brings his A game, and he's done it this time as well. I mean, he's given us some startling information about technological advances and things like that, but today we're going to shift gears just a little bit. It's amazing how the Lord just made this transition in what we're talking about, and we end up talking about seven plagues that are plaguing the earth right now. Right now, as we speak, these seven things are happening all over the world right now. Folks, we are definitely living in the times of the end, and Tom is pointing this out. He's bringing this information to allow you to understand we are definitely living in what the Bible calls the end times. Amen? We're going to jump back into this interview now with Tom Donnan. I was going to say our technological ability really has been growing exponentially. In fact, at the time of this recording, last night, President Biden made a statement in a speech to Congress, something to the effect of, we will see more technological advancement in the next 10 years than we've seen in the last 50 years combined.
Oh, wow.
What do you think about all that?
Oh, that's a scary thing. Where is it? You know, okay, so it usually starts out for good, right?
Oh, okay. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, and somehow it shifts around to where it limits freedoms and controls people and stuff, you know. The technology is, like, really good. Mm-hmm. And so, but that comes to Daniel 12, and there it says, you know, shut up the book until the time of the end when knowledge increases. And we're there.
Yep. Oh, I just seen this. When was it? It was just within the last 24 hours. I can't remember what the exact source I found it on, though. But this was, you know, in the book of Revelation, you know, the mark of the beast, you'll have it on your forehead and or on in your hand, mark in your hand so that you cannot buy or sell or do anything, right?
Yeah.
And this person related it to what we are seeing right now everywhere you go because of the COVID virus.
Yeah.
They check either your forehead or your wrist before they let you go inside, remember?
Yeah.
John, he didn't know anything about it. The only thing he sees is, oh, they must be seeing something in their forehead or on their wrist. This could be the prelude to the mark of the beast.
Yeah.
You know? And when I seen that, all of a sudden it just clicked. Boom. Man, that is spot on as far as, you know, getting people used to doing that.
Yeah.
And John had no clue what he was looking at. I mean, you know, he was still riding camels and sleeping in a, you know, a tent, right? Well, actually, at the time, he was in a cave, so it was even worse than a tent. But no freedom. And he didn't know what he was looking at. All he seen was before people could go into the store or wherever they're at, they had something on their forehead or on their wrist that they, you know, okay, now they go, you didn't have it? Go away. Oh, nope, not you. Go away, you know, type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, here we
are. No, that's really scary. Yeah. You see, that in the pre-interview when we were talking, one of the things that I had scheduled this a little bit later than we normally go in a cycle of once a month, is because the news that is out there is, like, getting so bad. I'm having a hard time with this because it's just, like we said, converging, but it's getting heavier and heavier. Yeah. And so that is getting, like, really scary. Now you have the blue states that are moving in that direction, and you have that red states that are resisting. Mm-hmm. And there's this tug of war. This is a rabbit trail, okay? They got this tug of war down in Florida where they want to start up the cruise industry, and it's a big part of their business. But there's this resistance. You know, the resistance is because they're not – this is my personal opinion – is because they're not playing ball down there. So therefore, let's see if we can pressure them into this, like with the New York thing, right? With the New York thing and how they have a medical passport. And didn't we talk about this last year?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. at China. Yeah. You can't go anywhere without the social credit system and having that green thing that says that you're good to go.
Yep, you're abiding by our rules. Was that a pun?
I think it was. Oh, gee.
Amen. Well, you know, speaking of technological advances, did you see the one about some guy flying around New York City on a drone?
I had to show that to my son. Yeah.
When I first seen it, my first thought was Marty McFly from Back to the Future and his little hoverboard. You
know? Yeah. Yeah, I thought, okay, they probably don't have any rules yet for this, you know.
Well, at least he stopped at the signal light.
Yeah. And he had some kind of strobes to let people know that he was there.
Yeah.
And I thought, my first thought was, is that for people that were, what we're talking about here is this guy that has built a drone where he stands in the center and it's got like 12 blades around him. And when he starts it, it lifts him up and he's able to fly as he's going, you know, either straight or a little bit above the ground. No, it's so he's doing it at night. You know, going down
less
the streets
traffic.
In New York.
Less traffic. Yeah.
Amen. But the thing is that, man, at my age, my ankles would not be able to handle that. You know, because he's shifting it with his ankles and he's flying down the road, you know, and that intensity. We did the one about the jetpack, remember, going across the English Channel?
Yep.
Well, now we got this new drone system where it could be personal, but I'm sure if there was a cop in the area, lights would have came on.
That's the first thing I thought of. If I would have been on patrol and say, you know, patrol 3, have a report of a guy flying down the middle of the road.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go get my donut. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
So they're trying to pull one over on me.
You'd have to be there to see it, right? Yeah.
Could you imagine the photo op, though, if, you know, the cop was sitting in the parking lot, you know, getting ready to take a bite out of a donut, the guy.
Yeah, going by, yeah. Yeah. That would be something. That would be.
Well,
I'm sure if he did.
That brings us back to our own backyards for a minute. I mean, I know we're all familiar with the COVID pandemic, and people all over the world have been affected by it. That's not the only newsworthy story going on right now. I mean, we've covered the increase in volcanic activity and the increase in earthquakes. But have you seen a report and video, I think it's by Michael Snyder, where he discusses seven plagues sweeping the world right now? Seven, right now.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. And I like Michael Snyder. You know, he did run for Congress in his state, but he didn't win the election. But he has some really good information. So I was paying attention when this came out. And the one that I double-checked on this top one, because it's new information that came out, you know, where it says the mice is devastating Australia. We're talking, this is a serious problem. It's not in the city. It's out where they can find food to eat in the hay and in the harvest and the products that they have there. And so I saw this second one. The guy goes, listen, I had to put some hard metal across the bottom of my door because they were chewing their way into the house.
Yeah.
You know, can you imagine that?
Imagine the Alfred Hitchcock with the birds. Could you imagine him making one now with the mice?
At night, they showed him in the car driving around, and they are, like, scurrying everywhere.
Mm. They reproduce. It's one pair of mice can become 500 in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's just starting with two, and they already got millions.
Yeah.
This is not going to be, and I know here in America, back several years ago, a lot of Native American Indians were dying, and they couldn't figure out why, and it was because of the mice droppings.
Yeah. You know? Well, this was a side effect. They're talking about how bad it smells.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I could imagine. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So that was the first one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's others. No, there's other ones he talked about as well.
Yeah. Of course, we've been seeing the increase. Of course, in January and February, there was no doubt we were seeing seven earthquakes on the Richter scale. No. And this seems to be in the southern end of the Ring of Fire. But you know what happens in the southern ring. It affects the other areas in the Ring of Fire. And I didn't put this on there. but there is microquakes that are taking place in Oregon and southern Washington, where they're having thousands of these microplates because you have the tectonic plate underneath the Pacific Ocean is going underneath the plate that is in Oregon, and they are having continuous microquakes there, which is at the opposite end of the Ring of Fire, where they're having the stronger earthquakes. So is it good? Is it good that it's releasing pressure, or is it a sign that it's about to really let loose? I don't know.
Yeah, depending on the who you're talking to, from what I've studied on it, I think it's better for it to release the pressure than it is just to have it build up and then snap all at one time. But it's a sign that things are moving, and there's going to be some point along that line, that fault line somewhere where, no, I'm not moving. Yes, you will. No, I'm not moving. Yes, you will. You know, and then when it blows, it's going to be a good one. And you're talking right along that same line is Yellowstone, and we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could not pick a worse area to hit.
Well, they got those, OKR satellites give us the Earth rise, the tilt, the lift, as they call it, and Yellowstone, and there is an increase in lift in that area. Isn't it amazing that they can get it down to like a couple centimeters? They can see that stuff. Oh, that's absolutely blows my mind. All right, so Mary Greeley has a lot of those good videos on Yellowstone. She goes into a lot of detail, sometimes too much detail for me, but she brings out all that information. And so we're seeing that, but what about the Iceland? That volcano in Iceland, that is really amazing. I wish I could go.
I wouldn't want to be there.
Well,
it's pretty to look at, but I wouldn't want to be in the area.
Well, it seems they got one now that actually is throwing the lava out farther because it was pretty confined. People were really walking pretty close to it, which the Icelanders, they're like a hardy people, right? So they go out there. What do? They bring their little teapots and they put it on the edge of the lava that's cooling off. They heat their tea or coffee, all right? And then they bring hot dogs and they put them on a wire and they heat up the hot dogs over the lava. That cracked me up.
Hey, make use of what you got.
Yeah, free barbecue. That's right. That was pretty amazing.
It's like when I was in the military working in air defense with our radars, we'd do the same thing. We'd stick a hot dog on the end of a stick, hold up in front of the radar, and it's like it's your own microwave. 30 seconds later, you got a hot dog.
Oh no!
Oh yeah, that was. And everybody's like, "You're eating radiation, dude! It's like a microwave." You're fine.
Yeah. Man, oh man, I never heard of that one.
Oh yeah, we used to do that all the time. We had the radar technician, we had hot food.
there you go.
Even if it was MREs and C-rashes, just stick it up on a stick, let it heat up, bring it back down. It's boiling, and you're good to go,
Yeah. The perks of the job, right?
That's right. You just got to know how to use it.
Yeah. So the next one on the list was a drought in America.
Oh, this was amazing. Yeah.
I had to double check that one because I haven't been hearing anything about that. Yeah. What did you see?
This thing is severe. I mean, and it's setting it up. We thought fires were bad last year. This year's going to be worse.
I
mean, and that you're affecting crops, which is means food prices are going up. The atmosphere quality. That's people with respiratory problems. It's going to be worse for them. I mean, this is just not one thing. Oh, wow, sucks to live over there. No, this is going to be nationwide,
Yeah. Well, okay, so food shortages, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is going to contribute to food shortages, and now you have in Australia the serious problem over there. Mm-hmm. And then you have in the Middle East and Africa the locusts. They are not relenting.
Yeah. Yeah.
They eat enough food for 35,000 people to be fed every day, these locusts do.
Per day.
Yeah. Yeah, so you have three things contributing to the consumption of food, which is not a good scenario.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. And since it they just fly in, eat it all, and leave. The people are left without anything. The crops are a mess. So whoever they sell it to and all that, that economy is ruined. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, it's, and we've talked either last time or the time before about locusts down in Brazil. I mean, they're here in the Western Hemisphere too.
Yeah, you know? I'm not crazy about that scenario because it's getting too close to home.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just remember back 30 years ago they had the killer bees, and it started off down South America. Well, that's South America's problem, not ours. And it slowly migrated, and all of a sudden, hey, the first killer bees were found in Texas, and now they're all over. You know?
Yeah, fire ants too.
Yeah,
fire ants made their way up over the years.
Yep.
So then we got a little different thing going on in Russia with the bird flu.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah, and they're concerned that it might transfer over into the people. I guess it's a very serious problem there. Of course, we don't get a whole lot of news about Russia lately. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah, you got to search far and low and high and wide to get good information these days.
Yep. But yeah, the bird flu. You know, so I can just foresee, you know, what's the mantra? Don't let a good crisis go to waste.
Yeah, that came from Chicago,
you know. Here we are. Okay, the COVID virus is waning away, but hey, bird flu's coming. Keep wearing them masks, you know.
Yeah. I do like the way that they do have a handle on treatment now. And so, which is very encouraging. I feel like we're getting life back. I was talking to my daughter just by text the other day, and she had dinner downtown. She works down there, but of course we're doing most of the work from home. But she had to go down there, and she met a friend and had dinner outside, you know, downtown. And she said, I felt like it's getting back to normal. Isn't that great?
Yeah, we had our first family get-together. My daughter's birthday was last week, and she said, Dad, we've all had our shots, right? So I said, Dad, let's go out to dinner. You know, I said, yeah, let's go. It's been 15 months since we had, you know, or more. It's maybe 16, 17 months since we've had a family get-together out to dinner. So that's what we did. We all went out to eat. And it's kind of weird in one way. You know, again, you know, check your temperature before you came in, you know.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about, you know. But then they served dinner on paper plates. I'm like, really?
I hope that was the
requirements, you know, those paper plates, the plastic utensils, and you know, that was, you know, their COVID procedures for that. But it was still nice to be able to get together as a family. Yeah, it was great.
Exactly. Yeah, and the church is really starting to get back to normal.
Yep.
Which I like that aspect. Now, the last thing on Michael Schneider's list was that how COVID is exploding in Brazil and India.
So
it's kind of like out of control for them right now.
Yep, and India is, there's so many people in India that if this thing spreads quick, I mean, it could seriously kill millions of people.
You know,
quick.
Well, they're running out of oxygen, available oxygen for those cases that are severe.
Amen. You know, and speaking of catastrophes, did you see more information on what's going on in Peru?
With that earthquake?
Yeah. That thing's huge.
Did you see the way the roads were? The roads were torn up into pieces. I couldn't believe that.
Yep.
That reminds me of like the Alaskan earthquake. For anybody who's listening who has actually seen that earthquake up there, there was a 9-point-something. Of course, it's a lot bigger than the one down in Peru. But you saw it was like the ground moved like in rivers. It just like moved a lot, you know, and it just tore everything up. And so those pictures down there in Peru is like that, where they're just destroyed. The roads are just destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but think back to the biblical account of Korah, you know, where the ground opened up and swallowed him and his family and stuff. And
You
know, that had to have been an earthquake like that. I mean, because the ground just wouldn't open up with no shaking or anything. I mean, it had to be something along those lines, like, guys, like, stand back.
You know? Yeah.
Just, watch that thing go. Oh, man. That's,
Those
were amazing videos and pictures. I mean, that was just...
Well, it shakes people up. That's the thing is that, okay, after that earthquake in Alaska for 6 months, the churches were packed.
Yeah.
So you start realizing, oh, sometimes life throws you a curve, and it really starts to, you think, rethink this stuff. Mm-hmm. Because what's human nature, right? Is that life's going to be going on for, like, you think, forever.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then out of nowhere, I had something that, in a second, right? I had something the other day. I had some tuna fish, right? Okay, it was the albacore. And as I'm eating the albacore, I put a little bit of mayonnaise and piccalilli in there. And I took a mouthful. There was an inch and a quarter bone in there that was an eighth of an inch in diameter. Mm-hmm. And I started to swallow that, and I could feel it right at the bridge of my esophagus, right? Yeah. And I stopped instantly. But that's how fast this stuff happens. Earthquakes happen in a second. Yeah. You know, these trauma type of events can happen in a second, and it turns your life upside down because we think we're invincible. We're not going to have a problem.
Yeah, like your heart attack.
Yeah, I don't want to remember that one. Yeah. I'll tell you, after that, every 6 months, I had a problem where if I saw an ambulance on TV, I was having panic attacks.
I bet.
No, Lord, no, I don't want to go down that road again.
Amen. He got your attention once. He like Woo. Jonah, you know. Okay, do I have to do this again? No, sir. I'm good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, we not only had the earthquake down in Peru, if you shift over a little bit, there was a big volcanic eruption still going on in St. Vincent Island in the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's getting a little close to home right there, you know. And so the fascinating thing is that this was a little bit more violent than we've seen in the other eruptions where they were like burps, right? An expression of releasing gas. But down there, they've had several, and they did have a pyroclastic flow. And I guess you could say they had a lahar because you could see the damage that was taking place there. They evacuated as many, I think, as 20,000 people from the island. And I saw those YouTubes, you know, that was pretty fascinating because they had boats coming from everywhere to get the people off the island. And so now they're starting to bring them back. But I don't think that's done because it keeps on going off. But this isn't just St. Vincent. That ash is going over to some of the other islands as well and affecting them. And now St. Vincent's economy is over. You know, the plant light's over. The tourism is over.
Yep, that's right. It's just not, you know, oh, we got to shut everything down, evacuate the island. Okay, get back to life. Normal now. No, it doesn't happen like that.
It's not going to happen.
New Orleans still hasn't recovered, you know, from that Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. You know, it's been a decade or more. You know, You know, I don't know if you classify this as a plague or not, but I wanted to share this with you. Did you see that Rome's been invaded again by millions of birds, starlings?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Many people flock to see them, but all these birds are making a mess of things. You have to excuse my puns.
Oh,
I just can't help myself. You know.
Good for you. Touché. Oh, gee. Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, you got some of these things that have computer-created art where they can do very fascinating things. These birds were doing things, flying in groups in the air that was mesmerizing.
Yeah.
No? And it was really, really beautiful to watch. But when you got, what, like 20 million of these birds, you know, that are flying around, the problem was that, you know, birds do what they do. They fly, they eat, they poop, you know? And, of course, the problem is that the poop is everywhere. I got in trouble down in, what was it, St. Petersburg, Florida. Right in that area there. I had gone to the beach and I was at a hotel and the seagulls were in the parking lot and I thought, I'm going to just give them a little bite of my thing here. And this guy come flying out of the lobby from the hotel and he says, don't be doing that. He says, that poop is acidic. It says, I'm tired of my car getting the finish eating off of my car. Stop feeding them. Well, we saw on that video that car was covered.
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Not at all. And, you know, like my wife, if we get left, you know, a leftover portion of a leftover loaf of bread or something, She wanted to take it out and feed the seagulls down by the little area. And she goes, there's none here. He goes, they'll be here in a second. Watch. As soon as I throw that first piece out, you hear one. Rah! You know, next thing you know, they're coming from all different. There's like 50 of them out there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're watching all the time. They'll flock to wherever you're throwing it.
Well, yeah. But these birds, they like invade. They like invade Rome. And it might be pretty to watch, but it's not having a good effect on other aspects of the life in Rome.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely got to walk around with an umbrella. And it's not for
the rain. I would think so.
It's not for the rain, that's for sure.
Yeah. Did you see where they had people walking around with squawking machines that were that would affect the birds to get them to move?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for today's portion of this interview with Tom Donnan. Oh, man. If this information did not capture your attention, really, you need to go see, you know, I mean, your wood is wet. I mean, this should have you on fire right now, knowing the soon return of Jesus is like this close. I mean, all these things happening all around the world right now, there is only one explanation, and biblical prophecy is coming to pass. That's the only explanation there is. Praise God. Don't shut me down when I'm preaching good. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, and the best part of this information is Tom Donnan's coming back for one more session tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Folks, you do not want to miss this. I'm telling you, he's got some information tomorrow that is just going to astound you about these things are impacting the economy right now. The economy of the United States is being impacted in ways that the government is not telling you about. And that's what we're going to cover tomorrow. All right? So we'll see you then. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.